God has a tremendous plan for your life, and God wants to bless you. And one of those areas that God wants to bless you is in your finances. And today we want to unpack some powerful truths that talk about God's financial blessing. A couple of years ago, my father-in-law gave me a phone call on a Sunday afternoon. He said, "Ryan, you're not going to believe this." He said, "Last night I was woken up at 3 a.m. Because the alarm at our church had gone off and somebody had broken in." He said, "I got up, put on some clothes, went on over to the church, and somebody had thrown a rock or had taken a big log and they had demolished the glass in the front door. They had run in and they had stolen all of the church's sound equipment." Now, this is Saturday night. Guys, that's a pastor's worst nightmare, okay? That he shows up on Sunday and there's no stuff at the church, okay? And at 3 a.m., everything's been wiped out. And they gave the police officer a list of an inventory of all the sound equipment. And thank goodness everything had been marked clearly with the church's name on it. But they were concerned. And, you know, when stuff like that gets stolen, most of the time you don't see it again. And so they weren't, you know, really optimistic that it would get back to the church. But several days later, the police department called my father-in-law and they said, "Dr. Key, we have the equipment and we have arrested the men that stole the stuff." And he said, "Oh my goodness, well, what in the world happened?" And they said, "Well, because the stuff was clearly identified and marked, we knew exactly what it was. And we went over to a local pawn shop and we discovered that all of the equipment was there and that the thieves had left their identification at the pawn shop." Now, it's bad enough to be a thief, but don't be a dumb thief, right? If you're going to be a thief, at least be smart about it, right? And so they had left their identification and they went and they were able to arrest the guys. Now, of all the places and all the people to steal from, why would you steal from God, right? I mean, I believe in the grace of God, but do you want to get like on the Hell Express? I mean, come on. You know, it'd be so much smarter to just go steal from somebody else. Don't steal. The Lord created the heavens and the earth, man. He's got more power in his little pinky than we can even imagine. And people are trying to go and steal from God. Like, you know, come on, man. And so they were dumb to steal from God, and they were dumb to leave their identification at the pawn shop, and they didn't get away with it. And you know, stealing from God is like that sometimes. I mean, we think sometimes that it looked like a good thing, but in reality it's not. And we look at it and we think later, man, that didn't even make sense. Well, in the 5th century, the scripture that we're looking at today has to do with this same topic. The prophet Malachi was talking to the people, to the Jewish nation, about people that were stealing from God. Can you believe that? And in this passage, he begins to challenge the people to rethink their own ethics and their own priorities. And so I want to share with you this scripture today, Malachi 3, 7 to 11. The Bible says, "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Will a man rob God? And yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour down so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast the fruit, says the Lord." Now here Malachi opens up this powerful discussion about the blessings of God on our finances. And he says, "Listen, when you begin to do these things, then I will open up the floodgates of heaven and will pour down so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it." Well, there's not one person here today that doesn't want God to bless their finances. Man, you may be wealthy, you may be barely making ends meet, you may be somewhere in between, but everybody would love to have God bless their finances. And so let's talk for a few minutes about how that happens and how does that work in the economy of God. The first thing that we see is that God will bless me when I prioritize my giving. In verses 8 and 9, the prophet said, Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, well, how do we rob you? And he says, in tithes and in offerings. Have you ever had something taken from you? When I was about 8 years old, I was playing in the backyard of my house. I was playing with my five-year-old brother. My parents were away. They were both at work. A babysitter was staying there at our house, and we were just being little kids, playing in the backyard, having a great time. I heard this pickup come down the alleyway, and it was loud. It was like it didn't have a muffler, and it was all rusty and beat up, and it was kind of a rough-looking truck. And I could not see over the fence, but I could hear that the truck had stopped in front of my driveway. And all of a sudden, I heard a door slam. And so my brother and I ran to the gate of the backyard, and there was this big redneck man running towards our garage. I mean, he was a big, big dude. He was mean looking. And it scared my brother and I. And he ran into the garage and he began to grab my dad had a really nice Honda lawnmower, and he began to grab this brand new lawnmower like he was going to take it with him. And my brother and I yelled out, "Stop thief!" You know? And I yelled it out, and then my five-year-old brother, he was even smaller, he was like, "Stop thief!" You know? And I'm sure it was intimidating, I'm sure in the least. And this big redneck man turned around and he looked at us and he snarled and he kind of went, you know. And he saw us standing there and he started running towards the back of the garage where we were. But instead of just leaving empty-handed, he grabbed my Swin 5-speed bicycle and threw it in the back of his pickup. Man, that big redneck man, he stole my bike. I was so mad about that. I thought, why couldn't he have taken Dad's lawnmower? I mean, you know, I mean, come on. I'm sure my dad's lawnmower was worth a lot more than my bike was. But, man, I was hurt. I was offended. What had belonged to me had been taken. And it wasn't mine anymore. And I wanted that bike back, and I never got it back. Never saw it again. We started keeping our garage door shut a lot more often than we did at that time. You know, if you've ever had something taken from you, you know how that feels. You know, it's interesting. God says that everything that He has given to us, 100% of everything that we have belongs to God. Did you know that? Did you know your TV, your flat screen belongs to God? Your car belongs to God? Your house belongs to God? God gave you everything that you've got. And He just has loaned it to us while we're here on earth. By the way, we don't get to take it with us when we leave. It all stays right here. And in the economy of God, He has chosen to bless us and to give us a lot of things. What He said is, I'm going to give you 100% of everything that you have, but what I want is I want you to give back 10% of what I've already given you. Now, does that sound like a deal or what? I mean, if somebody says, I'm going to give you 100% of everything that you need, and by the way, I just want 10% back, that's a 90% net gain, isn't it? That makes a lot of sense. That sounds good, doesn't it? And that's what God has said to us. He said, hey, look, I'm going to give you 100%. You just bring back 10%. The 10% is what we call the tithe. And the word tithe in the language of the Old Testament is a word that means tenth. It means one-tenth. So the Scripture tells us that we bring the tenth, the tithe, to the Lord, and we give that as an offering to Him. And what happens is, when we begin to give back to God, that's when God begins to bless our finances. And we'll get to that a little bit more. But God wants us to prioritize our giving. And everything that we have ultimately belongs to Him. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. The Scripture says this way, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which is swore to you, to your forefathers as it is today. And I love that part where it says God has given you the ability to produce wealth. So you may look at your paycheck and say, man, I worked hard and I made the sales and I you know, I deserve that and I made that. And that may be true. But you know what? God was the one that gave you the strength. God was the one that gave you the words. God was the one that gave you the ability. God was the one that gave you the ingenuity and the skill to do what you do so that you can make the money. See, ultimately, it all comes back to Him. And in the economy of God, when we begin to understand that everything that we have belongs to God, everything that we have is a gift from God, everything has been given to us as a loaner while we're here on earth, then all of a sudden, giving back to the Lord is really not that big a deal. begins to make sense. But the ancient people had forgotten this. And the prophet brought a strong word to them. He says, listen, when you begin to keep what belongs to God, you begin to take what rightfully belongs to Him and you begin to keep it for yourselves. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless it. You see, the second thing that we see here is that God will bless when I follow God's standard for giving. Verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. In other words, not part of the tithe, like not like a percentage of the tithe. The word tithe means tenth. So not 3%, not 7%, but the tithe, the tenth. Bring the whole tithe. And notice it says to the storehouse. See, in the ancient times, the place of worship would have a large barn. And people didn't have American Express and checkbooks and, you know, MasterCard and PayPal and all this kind of stuff. People brought their tithes and offerings to the church. They brought it to the storehouse. And so they would come to worship and they would bring a tenth of the crops they had produced and they would put it into the storehouse, and then later it would be stolen. And that's what funded the ministry. See, in today's economy, in today's time, we bring the tithe to the local house of worship, just as people did in ancient times, and that's how the ministry takes place. So God will bless me when I follow God's standard for giving. Now again, we're going for and we're looking at that part where it says, and I will open the floodgates of heaven. Man, every person wants God's blessing. If you want God to bless your financial resources, God's got to own it. It's got to belong to Him. You know, and that's true in every area of our lives. If we want God to bless our marriage, then we got to honor Him in the marriage. When we want God to bless us in the work, we got to follow God's principles in how we work. If we want God to bless us in our finances, we got to follow God's game plan. It's that whole idea of, as we follow God in obedience, then we put ourselves in the position for God to bless us. It's powerful. I have this new application on my cell phone called the Tip Calculator. You guys have one of those? It's pretty cool. You can just type in whatever you want to give, you know, at the restaurant, and the tip calculator. And I thought, how cool would that be if we came out with the Edge Church, the tithe calculator? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Free app for people. But then I thought about it. I thought, no, 10% is easy to figure out. It's not like 13.5% or 15% or, you know, 8.7%. 10%, that's easy to figure out. All you do is just drop some of the zeros, drop some of the digits, and it makes sense, and it works a lot easier. You know, and the scripture goes on in the New Testament, and it says, God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God wants us to love to give, and the more that we do give, the more we enjoy doing it, the more it's a pleasure, the more it's a part of what we do. And I love to give because that's just a part of who I am and what we do, and it's a priority to our family, and I get excited about it. I mean, I love to bring the tithe to the storehouse. Now, Leviticus 27 says, a tenth of everything from the land, whether grain or from the soil or fruit or from the trees, belongs to the Lord and is holy. Did you know this is one of the few times in the Bible that anything is referred to as holy? But God calls the tithe holy. It's sacred. It's important. And then He says, all of our revenue streams, He says here, a tenth of everything from the land, the grain, the soil, the fruit. In other words, however we make our income, a tenth of that belongs to the Lord. And it's holy, and it belongs to Him. And listen, if you're not satisfied with where you are vocationally, you're not really satisfied with where you are financially, the first question that you ought to ask yourself is, what am I doing in the arena of giving? I mean, if you pray, God, please bless my finances, but God doesn't own what you have, then how is He going to bless that? It doesn't work that way. So the first thing we need to do, man, we need to begin to evaluate and to look at our giving. Sometimes we look at the tithe and we think, man, I would love to do that. That sounds awesome. I'm excited about that. But how does that work? You know, sometimes it's hard to begin to make that a priority. We look at our income, we wait till the end of the month, and we think, oh, there's nothing left, you know, what do I do? You know, I would encourage you to go through and to read that book, Dave Ramsey's book on finances. There's other resources out there that are like that. I think I've listed it on your sermon notes. But there's some great resources out there to help get you out of debt and to help you alleviate some of the spending that may not be necessary, and to help you think critically about that. And listen, when you become a tither, you become more disciplined in all of your spending. I'm convinced of it. I believe that I actually have a little bit more money than I would if I didn't tithe, not only because God's blessing is involved, but also because I have to be more disciplined. You know, if you're going to give 10% of your income, it's got to be a priority. You've got to work your system. You've got to be plan it out. You've got to be organized. You've got to be ready to go. You've got to be dialed in, man, if you're going to be able to do that. And oftentimes, it has kept me from frivolous spending in other areas where I didn't need to spend money. So you may actually find out it comes out to be kind of a reverse blessing in a whole other way that you never thought. Several years ago, a friend of mine called me. He was a leader in our church. He said, "Ryan, I want to talk to you for a minute." It was a Monday morning. He said, "You know, yesterday I made a pledge towards the special offering that our church was taking up." He said, "I made a commitment to give $15,000 over and above my normal tithe to a special offering." And he was called me on Monday. He was telling me this. He had just made the commitment on Sunday. This was Monday morning. And I could tell he was a little troubled about something. And he was kind of talking around in circles. And I was kind of like, man, what's he trying to tell me? And so finally I said, "Are you okay? I mean, is everything all right?" And he goes, "Well, I made this $15,000 commitment over and above my tithe. And I went to the office the next day and I got fired." He was like, I got laid off from my job. He was either laid off or fired. He said, "I lost my job on Monday. Done. No more." And he was like, "You know, Ryan, I really need you to pray for me about this." And I was like, "Well, of course, you know." So we prayed together on the phone. And I thought what he was going to say was, "Would you please tear that card up that said $15,000? You know, please forget about that because I'm in a bind." You know what he told me? He said, "Ryan, we're not going to have as much money. We're just going to have my wife's income instead of my wife and I's income. But we're going to continue to tithe on the money that comes in from my wife's salary, and we're going to make that $15,000 goal. God put that in our heart. We're going to do that." And I was sitting there going, wow. I mean, I was like, awesome. Well, great. So we prayed together and got off the phone, and I was really convicted. I thought, man, I was thinking that he was going to tell me he wasn't going to be able to do that. But he wanted to do it, and I thought, that's incredible. So I was like, wow, this guy's got faith. Well, about 3 weeks later, he called me again. You know what he told me? He called me. He was all excited on the phone. He was kind of giddy. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what happened? He said, "Ryan, you're not going to believe this." He said, "You know, we've continued to tithe." And I said, "That's right. You told me you were going to continue to do that." And he said, "We've been faithful to that. Over the last few weeks, I want you to know, I just left another office, and I got a job offer doing a job that I'm going to enjoy doing more, and I'm going to make more money than I was making at the old job." Is that not incredible? And he went on and he finished out that $15,000 commitment above and beyond his tithe even before he thought he was going to be able to give it. He was able to give it earlier. God blesses things that belong to him. And oftentimes we look at our finances and we think just kind of in the here and now and kind of the natural world, but what if God was involved in your finances? You know, what if God's leadership, what if God's direction, what if God's blessing and anointing was on everything that you did? What would that look like? I think it would look a lot different than what we think it would. Probably blow us away and surprise us. Man, I want to encourage you today. If you don't have a job or you're having trouble making ends meet, you remember this. God is sovereign over the entire universe, and there is no problem that is too big for him. And when we follow him and follow his ways, God has a way of blessing and doing awesome things in our lives. You know, my friend there reminded me of the scripture in verse 8 where it says, "Test me in this." And he was testing, you know, the Lord in a sense. Like, "God, hey, you put this commitment on my heart. I want to deliver. I want to bring it. I want to do it. But in reality, I got a problem. I got an income problem. And how's that going to work out?" You see, God will bless me abundantly as I obey him. And this word in verse 8, it says, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty," is the only time in the Bible where it says, "Test the Lord." The only time. It's not in the Old Testament. Again, it's not in the New Testament. There's nowhere else in the entire Bible where it says that we are to test God. But in this scripture, it says, when it comes to bringing the tithe, that we're to test the Lord. Test me in this, he says, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour down so much blessing that you will have, you will not have enough room for it. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? There's supernatural blessings directly from God, and that is what we need in many regards in our finances, man. That's what we need. We need the blessing of God, and we reap what we sow. You know, have you ever thought about this? We reap what we sow in relationships. When we're kind to other people, what do we get back? Usually we get kindness, right? When we're loving towards other people, we receive love back. When we're critical and judgmental towards other people, what do we get back? We reap back the same thing. In tithing and in giving, we reap what we sow. When we sow generosity, that's what we reap back. When we sow discipline and commitment and dedication and faithfulness, then that's what we get back. We reap what we sow. That's why Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And if we want to have God's blessing, then it begins there with the tithe. Gina and I have tithed our entire marriage, and we love the tithe. And I'll tell you, we saw a tremendous blessing from the Lord just a couple of years ago. We were living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We were about to move here, and we had a house to sell. And there were houses all up and down our street, guys, that were for sale. I mean, there were for sale signs all over our neighborhood. There were new houses being built at discounted prices, like right around the corner from us. We thought, how in the world are we going to sell this house? The economy is terrible. You know, resale values have gone in the toilet. We needed to make a certain amount. We had only lived there 5 years, so we didn't have a ton of equity built up. So we needed to sell it for pretty close to what we had paid for it. But we wondered, how is this going to happen? We knew God was calling us to come to Colorado. And so we put it on the market, and we prayed like crazy, and we continued to tithe. And the very first person that came and looked at our house gave us a contract and paid full price for the house. Is that not amazing? Just, it was only like 2 weeks. You know, we were thinking, what are we going to do if we got to pay this, you know, mortgage for 3 or 4 months and whatever. I mean, we didn't have a lot to do that with. But the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed. And I believe God blesses the things that belong to Him. And we need to make sure that everything that we have is under His authority and under His leadership. You know, there's a lot of blessings in tithing. I love to tithe because, one, it gives me a feeling of excitement that God's going to do something great in the ministry and then also in my own life. You know, I get blessed. Also, we see financial blessings that are described here in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, and also in Malachi 3. There's the worship of giving. There's the peace of mind. There's the act of faith. You know, your faith grows. When you bring that check every week and you're like, man, I could have put that in my 401k, or I could have put that on my car, or I could have done this. You know what? It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Your faith will grow. Just like your faith grows when you read the Bible, just like your faith grows when you pray, just like your faith grows when you're in fellowship with other believers, when you give, God blesses your faith. And I tell you what, giving has a huge impact on faith. If you want to be a great person of faith and a person that has tremendous confidence in God, bring the tithe. It happens. And many of us have asked Jesus into our hearts, but we need to ask Him into our wallets too. That's where we need to ask Him. The only subject discussed more in Scripture, more than giving, is salvation. It's the second most talked about topic in the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. And some people have said, well, you know, tithing isn't really relevant because that's like the Old Testament and we're like in the New Testament. Let me ask you a question, if you've ever thought that. Would you give more under the law than you would under grace? How much more should the grace of God lead us to want to give? If grace is superior to the law, how much more would we want to give in that case? If you've ever thought that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't worry about it. It may sound self-serving in a way for me to kind of talk about tithing. I mean, I'm a pastor. But at the same time, you know what, guys? The ministry here is funded by the giving. I mean, it just is. And when we reach people for Jesus Christ, we do so because we have the financial backing to do it. We've led 100 people to Christ this last 12 months. That would not have happened if you guys would not have given. You guys have been a huge part of that. We've got to continue to do that. There's more work to be done. Our community is about 93% unchurched. Did you know that? Got lots of work to do here, lots of people to reach, lots of ministry to take place. We can't do it if we can't pay for it. I wish, and I prayed about this, that a little angel from heaven would slip down at the end of the week and add zeros to the church's bank account. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And I pray that some denomination would just give us a blank check and just say, Ryan, go get whatever you need and we'll just take care of it, you know? And I wish that the school district would just let us meet here for free. But that's not reality. That's not the deal. That's not the case. The way that the ministry goes is the faithfulness, the consistency of God's people stepping to the plate and following him in bold and courageous giving. And it's exciting to do so. It really is. I've been inspired by Gina's family. Gina's not here this morning. She's in New York City visiting her sister. My brother and sister-in-law have started a church in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and so Gina's up visiting the nephews and nieces and sister and all that. But Gina's family, they even tithed when they were going through bankruptcy. That was a long time ago. But they were faithful to God, and God's blessed them as a result of it. I don't know what it is. I wish I could understand all of it. I wish I could even explain it all. I don't even know how to explain it all. I just know that God's word says that he blesses the things that belong to him. And that's what I want for you, man. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed in such a powerful way that, man, you can take care of your family, and you can have the things that you need, and that you can go the direction that you want to go. And generosity and giving is a huge part of that. So let's just pray this week that God would teach us more, that he would show us more how we can give and how we can be blessed and how we can walk with him in a powerful way each day. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Let me pray for you this morning about this. God, today we've talked about a tough topic. We've talked about an important topic and one that, God, we want to do but sometimes seems very difficult. And I pray for the courage. I pray for the faith. I pray for the insight, the knowledge, Lord, on how to do that. I pray that we would just be people that are faithful to you in every arena. God, direct us, lead us. I pray for financial blessing, Lord, for everyone that's here today. God, we love to see people blessed by you. And we're excited about that, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you praise today. And we look forward to seeing great things in the days ahead in regard to our and to our giving and to your blessing. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.